Mishmaya today. We're wrapping up Simin Sadiches. We don't have that much more to do. Okay, so let's take a look at Siv Dalet. In order to do Siv Dalet properly, we have to discuss two issues. One is actually a very, very important Lamaisa issue that the Beis Yosef brings up in the middle of Siv Dalet. And that's how we're going to start. It's actually a good introductory topic for today. And that is, when we talk about shishim, and we have iser that's absorbed into a utensil, how do you estimate whether there's shishim? In other words, what is the way in which you have a spoon that has treif inside? So how much is shishim connected to spoon? How are you mishayer shishim keneged a spoon? So here, the Beis Yosef quotes a Mordechi, right in the middle of Dalet, actually towards the end. Kasa Mordechi perek gira nashe b'shem Ravya. By the way, any suggestions of why some people say Mordechi, as opposed to Mordechai, right? The name is Mordechai, not... So Nevinzal suggested to me that it's based on the fact that all the Rishonim that don't have Rav before them, that it would be a lack of kavod to call them by their first name. So you don't say the name entirely. It said Mordechi, as opposed, and therefore also we have the Hagos Ashri. In other words, it's not Hagos Asher. Asher being for Rabbeinu Asher. Rush we call Rabbeinu Asher. We don't call him. So that's the theory.
What about Amorad?
Right, correct. It seems like it was a custom that developed within the... later on, but you're right, there are Amoraim that go by, of course, in Bavel and so on, that go by, we don't call them Rav beforehand, but that's the suggestion. When Rav Reichman was teaching me this past summer, see, he said to me, why do you say Mordechi? So I told him what Rav Zal said, and he wasn't familiar with that custom, not to say Mordechai. Okay. Kasa Mordechi, Heich Misharim Shishim Nege Kol HaKli HaAsur, Mimalim Kli Godol Malei Mayim. The way in which you do it is what we call displacement theory. You fill up a utensil full of water. V'yitein hakdera asur tochol so akli. V'hamayim hayotzim hein hein ashir dofne hakdera. V'yishar beheter keneged osam hamayim. So the Mordechi suggests the following way that you test isur, and that is you see how much isur has been absorbed into the utensil, and then what you do is you check the displacement. In other words, you're measuring the entire spoon, and how much water is pushed out by the spoon is going to be the maximum amount of iser that you could have. So if you take a look in the Aruch HaShulchan, the Aruch HaShulchan even tries to give a particular measurement based on the spoons of his day. It seems like in the time of the Aruch HaShulchan is what, 110 years ago? At the time of the Aruch HaShulchan, it seems like they had standard size spoons, and all spoons were made equal. All spoons were basically the same time. So if you take a look in Sadi Dalet Gimel in the Aruch HaShulchan, Yesh Mishakas of the Shir Shishim Neged Kaf, who Echad Quart, Shishim against the spoon would be one quart vechetzi. So it's a quart and a half, would be 60 times a spoon. And then he differentiates between the thickness of the different types of spoons. Ve'etz ha'parur, but if we're talking about a wooden spoon, hu shnei kvart, because that is going to absorb more. Shehu chetzi tapnim misenu. So the Aruch HaShulchan is trying to be as precise as possible. And then he says, v'cheina minig etzel balei ara. He tells us what the minug was in those days.
What was this part for the wooden? Why wooden?
Ah, because he says there's two different types of wood. There is a wood that's called an Eitz HaParur, and then there's another wood, a solid wood. It seems like he's assuming that the Eitz HaParur is what we would call, actually you could see it in our desks, that's what they call sandwich wood. So it's more likely to absorb more, and therefore you'll have more to be Mishar of Shishim Keneged. And then he says, Avokaf, Mechoshes Okesef, die the pachos mizeh, but the metal is less absorbent, and therefore it will be enough for less than that. But neishen dakum mikapasets, and they're even thinner than the wooden spoon. So now this is not halacha lemaisa. Again, you see the Aruch HaShulchan being very, very practical. As we've seen, Rav Willig is very happy with Aruch HaShulchan's practicality when it comes to Ilog Gvar and Shatog Gvar. So Aruch HaShulchan is very, very practical. And he says, you know, I basically tested it, and this is what it's going to be. Obviously, what he wrote that he tested then is only relevant 110 years ago. It's not going to be the same quart and a half, because we have every spoons now is different. In other words, what I was alluding to is it seems like in the time of the Aruch HaShulchan, basically all spoons were the same size. That doesn't apply today. There is something called a tablespoon and a teaspoon, that's true. But the size of the handles and other things are definitely not universal. So that's this. That's the Aruch HaShulchan's approach. So the bottom line is we have displacement theory. That's the way you test shishim. I remember being confused about that once upon a time. Just lemaisa, how do you test shishim? And so that's the answer. You have to be mishar the whole spoon. The Aruch HaShulchan although says that it depends on how likely it is to absorb. You have to take that into account as well. So let's go 100 years later to one of the biggest philanthropists in the world of Torah's son, who wrote Halacha Lemaisa book. This is the head of Dirshu is a fellow Hofstetter. So his son wrote a couple of Halacha Lemaisa books, and here he does a very good job. In Perek Zayin, Os Lamed Gimel, he says, how do we assess Shishim practically today for our spoons? So he writes, Pi Shishim Keneged Kaf Lefi Metzius Maynenu, Kefi Animtze Bevdikos, Bekamut Sheyesh Ba'al 180 squared centimeters, Yesh Shishim Keneged Kaf Standartit. So he says, he also says that there is a standard spoon, and so he says that's 180 squared centimeters. So what is 180 squared centimeters practically? So he gives us even a very practical example. Vim came the koshtia rigila, the classic. How many shalas do we have at least the guys in the kol? Basically, the only shalas that we have are coffee shilas, right? You know, so he says the following. Imkein b'kos, I'm talking about in the base medrash, not at home. Imkein b'kos shtia rigila, so he gives a coffee example. If you have a regular cup, yesh bivada yosem mishishim neged hakaf. You definitely have 60 times in a regular cup, probably talking about a cup slightly larger than this, or basically this size. This would be 8 ounces, right? He says that there certainly is 60 times the kaf, but prat keneged kaf the ketana, and certainly against a teaspoon. And therefore, he says, lemaisa, he says somewhere over here, therefore, if you have a cup of coffee and you by mistake mixed a fleishig spoon inside, so the coffee is definitely going to be more than shishim keneged spoons. That's a very good way of practically getting the measurement. So it starts, everything over here again starts with the Mardafi, that the Mardafi finally answered our question, how are Mishar Shishim, and Rav Hofstetter, carrying on the tradition of the Aruch HaShulchan, gives us what it is today, and 100 years from now, another philanthropist will have a son who will write a sefer, which will be more relevant. Yes, then. Yes, that. Good? Okay. This is the basics, as far as that's concerned. The Piskei Tshuvas just finally points out that there is a discussion. It's already in our Piskei Tshuva. I think I put in the cover sheet, the Marim Makom. Yes. If you take a look at the Piskei Tshuva, Sifkat and Beis, and Sadi Ches, Sifkat and Beis, so there the Piskei Tshuva has a diun of how do you measure the Shishim. Take a look at Sifkat and Beis and the Piskei Tshuva. Ayin b'tshuvas shar Ephraim. This is all the way in the beginning of Tzadi Fes. Shemisharim b'mida v'lo b'mishkal. So this is a critical line, because I might have thought that you should be mishar the blios based on the weight of the blios that goes in. In other words, what's the weight of flesh that goes inside? But we don't pass like that. We don't measure that way. We don't measure based on weight. We measure based on surface area. And that makes the Mardachi's shita a lot easier for us. The Mardachi just says, then if we're doing it based on area, so then displacement theory works perfectly. If it would be based on weight, then the displacement theory of Amiv and Yavin would be more complicated. Still, that leads the Aruch HaShulchan to say, well, there are different types of spoons. There's some spoons that absorb more. There's some spoons that absorb less. But at the end of the day, it's a basic displacement theory. In other words, displacement theory is going to take care of a spoon that absorbs a lot. If you have a spoon that doesn't absorb a lot, so then you can be more makel than the amount that Rabbi Hofstetter gave us there. But the bottom line is, you know, basic, it's good for a rub just to have on his fingertips a spoon inside of a cup, mutter, that in such a case there is going to be shishim, and you can tell them the kind of the bnei saschar, and don't tell them about the isser heter. Or okay, yeah.
Would we say that? Meaning, I feel like it makes more sense to be mashal by the weight than by the surface area. Is that like a chumrah, the maximum?
Great question. I did not look up the Tshuvas Shaar Ephraim. I'd be happy if you would. It could be it's Betorah Chumrah. I don't know the answer to that question. I would guess that it's Betorah Chumrah. That would be my guess. It would be just too complicated to be Mishar B'Mishkal, but I did not look into it. That's a fair question. I don't know the answer to it. Yes?
What's the name of Rabbi Hofstetter Sefer?
It's called Hilchos Basar B'Chalav.
Okay.
And his book on Hilchos Nida is called Hilchos Nida. That's let's begin B'Siyata D'Shmaya now, the core issue at in Sif Dalet. When I started saying Torah, I was referring to Hey. Let's take a look at Sif Dalet in the Shulchan Aruch. Says Shulchan Aruch, Iser Shin is Fashal and Heter. So that, I think, remind me, Rabbo said, we did the Shulchan Aruch, we just didn't do the Ramah? I don't recall. In Sif Dalet. Or did we not do the Ramah? We didn't do anything. Okay, beautiful. Says the Mechaber, Iser Shin is Fashal and Heter, Afil Makirov hu Shalem, Vizarko. If you have Iser that fell into Heter, and it's intact, so then, Tzarek Shishim Kinega Kol Iser, once you remove it, you need Shishim, Ipnei She'en Anu Yod, and Kami Yotzim Menu. L'fichach, Hanavasha Bikteris Iser Shibas Yomo, therefore, if you use the Ben Yomo Pada, Tochav Kavshal Iser Beheter, Tzarek Shishim Kinega Kol Heter, you need Shishim against everything. U'kinega Kol Masha Tochav Me'akif, Kaf, She'en Anu Yod, and Kama Bolo. So you need to assess everything, as was pointed out, but Jake pointed out, that when it comes to the being mishar the whole calf, we really, al pi alacha, don't need to be mishar the whole calf, because you only need the amount of iser that went inside. But the problem is, we don't know how much the calf absorbed, so therefore, l'chumra, we assume everything. Bein shem shel cheres o'eto matechas. V'yesh mi shemachmir b'kaf shel matechas, there's some machmir on a metal spoon. L'hatzuch shishim k'neged kulo, afilo hichnis el mixas, mishum decham mixas l'cham kulo. This is the opinion of Rabbeinu Peretz that we already had in Hilchos Basar B'Chalav, that says that we assume the blios goes through the conduction of heat, and we don't pask in that way. So the adkan divrei ha-mechaber. Ramah is straightforward. We're not going to add very much to the Ramah, but we'll read. I like to try to read every word in Shulchan Aruch. By the way, last time around, we started skipping around Hilchos Taruvos, and some of the questions that the guys asked me in Seder, I decided, you know what, we're at the stage that we could do all of the Shulchan Aruch and Ramah together. So I think I'll be the game plan at least for the next few simanim. Says Ramah, "Bilvad shebolu al yidei resichas eisha azav bli holechas v'chol akli." The condition is that you need it to be on the fire. Avol yidei resichas melicha in a nivla v'kli rak de klipa. We learned the halacha by melicha that it only absorbs kadei klipa, vein sa'ok sharak kadei klipa. There are times, v'amevin yavim, where machmir by melach, that absorbs more, but over here, when we're talking about the kli, it's not going to absorb more. The Ramah continues by yud ches in the grav, v'kol iser shemevatel b'shishim, anytime revatel b'shishim, in makiro tzarech lasir misham, afol gav dekvar nisbatel taimel b'shishim. You always have to remove the actual iser itself, because the iser itself, if it's identifiable, is not going to be batel in shishim. Rav Friedman pointed out from the Ramban, it seems to be that the way it works is that once you it's recognizable, then it's not going to be batel at all. V'lechem im nafal chelav tochat tashul is batel time of a shishim. if chalev fell in, and it's possible to remove the chalev, right? The chalev could rise. So tzarech liten sham mayim tzonin, the way in which it works is that you put in cold water, v'teva chalev v'hakpi v'lotzuf l'mal al mayim, cold water will cause the fat to rise, v'yasirin misham, once it's possible to separate, then it's not going to be batel, and you need to do an action to do that. By the way, here is an interesting halach. We're not going to spend time on this. That any, even though now it's batel, if it's easy to be able to remove it, if it's possible, right now it's not identifiable, but it's possible to identify it, then that would be enough to be chayiv to identify it and remove it. If you have Isra that fell into one pot and then it falls into another pot, in other words, you had chalev that fell into one pot, it gave off time into one pot, and then you took the chalev out and it fell into another pot. So then you need to have bittul against both of them. I might have thought that some of the chalev went out in the first pot, so then you don't need to be mishar connected all the chalev. Kamash Malan, that we have to be choshesh that no chalev went out the first time, all the chalev went out, the time chalev went out the second time, you need to be shayar kulo. Avol nafal k'tei rishon shtei pa'amim, but if it fell into a pot twice, ein sarach rak shishim echel kenegdo, then in such a case, all you need is once, because it was the same chalev going into the same pot. The grov, ha'nevin yavin, and sifkat and chafta, I'm not going to discuss, but I'll be making reference to it a couple of times, but we're not going to elaborate on, asks that we did see at times that we do say chanan on the pot, and over here the Ramah is saying that we don't say Chanan on the pot, which is going to get involved by Maven Yav in the next sif that talks about Chanan by Blios. The Gra has an answer, a complicated answer that we've made reference to in the past, but we'll leave that Gra's in Sif Katan Chaf. We'll leave it over here. The Pashup Shah in the Ramah, if you don't get too smart in asking from different places, the Ramah himself stands alone. The Ramah says that if the fat would fall into two different places, so then in such a case, you need Mishar against that fat twice, two times over. You don't know how much Tam Chalev went out the first time. And then he says, but if it falls into the exact same place twice, so then you only have to be Mishar once, connected the entire Chalev. And the Gra asks, but what about the fact that there might be Chanan in the walls of the Kedera? Okay. Sif Hei, the Taz is Medayik, that the tour doesn't present things the way I'm going to present. Binyamin was introducing me to this Taz yesterday. I had always learned as the Shach does. It's going to repeat itself to Binyamin a couple times in our discussion Sif Hei. We're going to follow in the footsteps of the Beis Yosef, the way the Beis Yosef and the Shach learn Sif Hei. Sif Hei points out, let's take a look at the Beis Yosef, is the Maramakom of where, when we discuss Blios and Chanan. We've alluded to when we learned Simen Sadi Beis and when we learned Simen Sadi Hey, that when it comes to Chaticha Nasas Nevela, so let's talk about Basar B'Chalav, where everybody agrees it's Chaticha Nasas Nevela, you could have an instance where the pot itself will have Chaticha Nasas Nevela. And that is, if the pot has a little bit of Isur, then if it's an Isur like Basar B'Chalav, that can affect the rest of the tamim. So then, even though there's a little bit of basar b'chalav, all the other blios are contaminated by the basar b'chalav, and then you're no longer going to be only mishaer connected the basar b'chalav that's inside, but you're going to be mishaer connected all the blios that are inside. That's clear, Rabosai? Just reviewing what we had before. So here, this is the Maram Maklum. If you want to see the basic shitas in the Rishonim and Poskim, so this is the main place, in Sadi Ches Hei. And that's how the Beis Yosef presents it. He presents it as a machlokis between the Rajba and the Ramban. So if you take a look, it's in Dibra Maslal, in the Beis Yosef, Dibra Maslal, the Im Yodua, he says, Gamza Midibra Rajba, Vizel Lashonim. So he quotes the Rajba from the Teres Habayis, Hecha Denir Bekav Chadosha Kizayis Chala, Chelev. What's the way to catch yourself? Cholav and chelav, it's always maddening, whether we're talking about cholav or chelav. So 90% of the time, exactly. When it says kizayis, then it's chelav, and if it doesn't say kizayis, then it's cholav. There are a few exceptions, but that's...
Is the Taz an exception?
Maybe. That's your Taz again. Okay. V'hecha d'nir v'kaf chadashe kizayis chelav, v'acha kach tochva bebasar, you only need shishin keneged the chalev that was absorbed, Dayadina kamahava. So the only amount that you need to estimate is the amount of cheder that went inside. V'chein adin, and the same halach would apply, im nir kizayis chelev bikaf yishana she'ena bas yoma. If you stir the spoon with an old calf, in other words, there are other blios, but those blios are ena bas yoma, so then those blios are not going to become contaminated. Avolo im hoysa yishanu bas yoma. But if the spoon is an old spoon, and it has blios that are b'nei yomo, in contrast to a new spoon that has no blios, yesh lomar dechazer kol ma shebulu b'soch hakaf mibasa b'chalav ki chatichas nevela. Everything is going to be considered chatichas nevela. The Rashba here went from kizayis chelev to basa b'chalav. The reason he might have gone is because by chelev, most Rishonim hold that we don't say chanan. But by basa b'chalav, we do say chanan. Maybe. This is part of what that Taz gets involved with.
Why don't we just say it was always Chalav?
Because it's very hard to say the Kizayis is Chalav.
The Torah uses Kizayis Chalav, which is not Chalav.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going right now the way the Shach's Maskana. That's how we're going to learn. But you're right. There are a lot of grays over here that I'm going to sort of nudge around. Aval Ramban, the way I want you to know this is a machlokas between the Rashba and the Ramban. The Rashba holds that we are choshesh for these blios. Aval Ramban kosem the mistabra de lo amrina bebeluah chatichat sonas navelas. The Ramban is the big makel. And the Ramban says that, no, you don't have chanan by blios. Ve'ein misharin and bein bishan bein mechadosh el mai de bol levad. You don't have to worry about the basar bechalav making the blios that are inside of the pot as being chaticha nasas nevela. Now, halacha lemaisa, to the Rabbi Yamin's surprise, I believe that the Mechaber and the Ramah both paskin mi'ikur lichatchila like the Rashba. Both of them paskin lichatchila like the Rashba. Rabbi Yamin pointed out that we seemed to have in Simon Sadi Dal the Ramah that doesn't seem to hold that way. I'll make reference to it later on, but I'm going to learn the whole Si'if, both the Mechaber and the Ramah, assuming like the Rashba. And that's how it's going to read smooth, and that's how the Shach is going to present it, and that's the way to go. Now, what Rabbi Yamin pointed out is the Taz does not take that, the Taz doesn't seem to take that approach. I'm leaving the Taz on the side, and I'll give you, Rabbi Yamin, an entirely different kivun to go in terms of being Miyashi the Kasha, and I'm going to stay in the world of the Shach. Says the Mechaber, Im Yodua, Kama Hu Ha'Iser. The person knows how much Iser there is. Kigon Chaf Chadasha. If you have a new spoon. So let's explain what those holy words mean. By the way, just to, of course, explain the progression of the Shulchan Aruch, just to appreciate the simple pshat of the Shulchan Aruch, the previous Si'if was discussing how much of the Chelev do you need to be Mishaer? Do you have to be Mishaer all of it? And so on. In this Si'if, now we deal with the next issue. And that is, how much of it do you need to be Mishaer when it went into a pot? Is it possible that there's actually going to be more Iser than the Chelev itself? How could that be? If you say Chanan on the Blios, then you'll actually have more Iser than the Chelev itself. So that's the Oimek HaPshat. You don't need Tzvei Dinim only to appreciate Oimek HaPshat. That's the Oimek HaPshat of what's going on from Siv Dalid to Siv Hei. Siv Dalid was saying that your Mishar connected all the Chelev. Comes along Siv Hei and says, you know what? There are times that you're even Mishar more than the actual Chelev itself. And that's when you're going to have Chanan on the Blios. If you do a Kama Yisr Kedon Chas Chadosh or Shein Bas Yoma, if you know that it's a new spoon, or it's an Einu Bas Yoma, Shenir Ba, Ubala Kizayis Chelev, Achakach, Nir Ba, Kedera Shel Basar, Ein Tzarech El Shishim Levatel HaKizayis Shebala. You only need Shishim Keneged the actual Chelev that was inside, or if you go as Chalav, or the amount of Chalav that's inside. Adds the Ramah, V'lo amrinu gabi kli chaticha nasas nevela film near bo iser. And we don't say that the kli itself is going to has the din of chanan. we're going to see that there is a Mordechi that holds that at certain times, not only do Blios have Chanan, but the Kli itself will undergo the process of Chanan. In other words, you don't have the old food, not old, the food from that day, it's Blios that could be contaminated by the Basar B'Chalav or the Shari Surim, according to that Andamar, the Sechanan by Shari Surim. But even the Kli itself, it has no Blios at all. So that's the Ramah spelling out the Mechaber. Avol kaf yishana ubas yoma misharina bikula. But once you have a kaf yishana, so then in such a case you have to be choshesh that the iser went into the spoon had other blios, and now you got to be mishayer keneged that spoon as well. So if you have the chaylev that went in, so you have to be mishayer keneged the chaylev as well as keneged that spoon, which the Aruch HaShulchan told us is batel in a quart and a half. That's you have to add that cheshbon. Continues the Mechaber. The Ramah spells out what we just said in the parentheses, whoever the parentheses is. The Yeshmi Shomer Shigam Bazein Tzarech Alashish and Vatal Gzeis Shabala. And there are some who are Mekil, so we have a Stam Yeshomer. So Mechaber quotes the Rajba, then the Ramban is the Yeshmi Shomer, that there are some who say that you're not Choshesh for Blios. And the Ramah concludes, Vasvara Rishoyne Iker, Kemoshin Ispar Le'il, Gabe Tipas Cholav Shanofa Al Kedera. That is what Tzadi Beis Hey, if I'm not mistaken. And in Sadi Beis Hey, we had discussed Tipas Chol Shanaf Alakdera saying Chanan on all of the Blios. So that is what emerges, and that's how we paskin Lahalacha. What we're going to do now in the Shach is just see how the Shach develops what we just spoke out. The Shach is quite clear. In Sif Katan Yud Zayin, let's see the Holy Shach. O Sheina Basioma, Pirish, Shayesh Al Basa Veina Basioma, Shanir Ba. Kizayis. Let's try to see how the Shach is going to learn that. Yeah, here it's not going to work. But Pashtus, the Shach is learning Chalav. Shanir ba Kizayis Chalav, so the Kizayis theory is not going to work. Delekel Amemer Denasis Nevela. So if you have a case of where the spoon is more than 24 hours that it absorbed the chalav, so then in such a case, you're not going to say chanan on the kli, according to everybody, even according to Rajba. Why? Even the law abulua lamasas nevela. The Kli itself will not become nevela. In other words, he's precluding the shita, the mardechi that says that at times it does. Aval imnir bekaf achakach kolav shita the motor b'diav shabasanos in tam lefgam. So if the there was only blios that are more than 24 hours, that's not a problem. Aval kaf yishana shabasu bas yoma shnir b'kizayis kolav o ipcha. But says the Shach, if you have a case in where there were blios on a ben yomo, so then in such case everything is going to become chanan. So kol mash netcha mikaf akder to lo yidin kama bala. Avol yidin kama bala v'tzarech l'shar l'kinegin abasa v'achalav u'kigon. So what the Shach says is b'siyata d'shmaya, the way we had learned. I gave Rabbi Yamin a reference over here on the cover sheet that the Shach, though, his mahalach, the way we just learned, one could ask from the Mechaber and Ramah in Sadi Dalet Beis. In Sadi Dalet Beis, over there it sounds like, I'm just giving you references, over there it sounds like the Ramah holds that we don't say Chanan by Blios Kalim. I'll just read it for those of you just to jog your memory. I'm not going to spend time being Yashev, but especially because the fellows were handling with this and it's a very, very good question, just make reference to it. In Sadi Dalet Beis, there's a discussion of when you have a tchivas hakaf, do you need to be mishar twice keneged a kaf or once. So there, the Rama concludes v'yeshom decided with pamachashishim v'chei noagim. And the simple understanding of that Rama at first glance is that the mechaber who says you have to be mishar twice because he holds chanan by blios, and the Rama who doesn't holds that you don't need to be. So that's the question Rabbi Yamin asked me. So if you take a look at the gro over there, he makes reference to the gro over here in being miyashev the kasha, as well as I put on the booklet. It didn't come out. There was a typo. But if you take a look, the Badei HaShulchan in Sadi Dalet Chav Gimel addresses this stira in the Ramah, and he one of the sets of Achronim he gives is the Gra's Teretz. So basically, if you look at the Gra by us that I made reference to in Sif Chatan Chav, it's a little bit vague, but his pshat that he says in Sif Chatan Chav, he himself makes reference to in your kasha from Sadi, what do we say? Sadi Dalid Beis. No, it's Beis. Sadi Dalid Beis.
Oh, yeah.
Sadi Dalid Beis, you're right. There is Sadi Hey Gimel is Mashma that way. From Sadi, he asks that the Ramah, and he gives a complicated teretz to be Miyashif. But bottom line is that it's the Gra and most understand that even the Ramah holds that we would say by the blios chanan, and that's how we paskin. Yeah, good. Okay, that b'siyata d'shmaya is if hey in the mechaber. Now the Rama goes on and he says something really interesting. He says a fascinating shita. So we read the Rama in hey where he said v'aswar rishon iku k'moshu espar l'il gavitivus chav shnaf l'akdeira, and that is that where we see in Sadi Beis Hey that we hold of Chanan by Caleb, by the Blios, and then he says V'yeh she'enon mechalkin ben kaf yoshan l'chadash. There's some who don't differentiate between an old spoon and a new spoon. Rak ben kli cheres l'shar Caleb. Some say it depends on what type of utensil you had. Va'omrim, and they say the b'kli cheres. When it comes to kli cheres, the ef shela hafrid of Israel idei agalah. We know that clay utensils can't be kashered. So then, Amrina Naklinas Nevela. Then we say the clay becomes Nevela. Avalob is Shar Kalim, but we don't say that in regards to other Kalim. Mordechi beperikid anasha. So here, as the Ber Hetev develops beautifully, and we'll see it in the original sources, quotes a machlokis between the Taz and the Shach of how to read what we just said. First, let's make sure we have the translation of the words. Here, the Rama said that when it comes to Kli Cheres, there, it doesn't matter whether there's Blios or not. In fact, when we talk about a Kli being contaminated and becoming Nevela, it's not that the Blios inside become contaminated, but rather the Kli itself becomes contaminated. We saw the Shach said that up until now, the Mechaber and Rama find that ridiculous. He says, but there, the Rama does say that by Kli Cheres, there, we're going to have to be more Machmir. Now, the Taz learns that you read it Pshuto Kimashmo. If you take a look, the Taz, in the long, long Taz, Sifkat and Ches, he says, Va'achar kach mevi Rama. It's right after this of a Heter. He quotes the Mardechi. Really, by the way, this Taz should have been chopped in half. Dehainu, they should have made Va'achakach Mevi Ramah as entirely separate Sifkatan. This wasn't built for people in 2020. They need small bite-sized pieces. So halfway through that Taz, he says, Mashma Midvarav, it sounds like from the Mardechi, the Kli Cheres she efshar lahafshid hafrid. When it comes to cheres, you can't kasher it. So then, in other words, the Taz understands that the Mardechi believes in this magic. That what? That a kli, even though there's no blios, could become a nevela. Why? How? The answer is that since we see in Hilchos HaGolos Ken, you can't kasher the Kli, so then that shows that the Kli is inseparable from the Yisr. If it's inseparable from the Isser, then the Cheres could become itself a Nevela. The proof of it is the fact that you can't kasher it. That's the Shita of the Taz. The Shach says, ridiculous. No, we're not going to go so far and say that the Kli is mamish going to reach this type of stage that it could become Nevela. If you take a look in the Shach Sifkatan Chaf Aleph, he says, Mashanir Shem Kam Shulchan Aruch, Rajba, etc., etc., etc. Then he says, Masha Kosa Betoris Chatas B'Shem HaMordechi. Here you have a pretty big reference. Perikir Anosha Simitav Reishayin Tes, a big parenthesis you could find. Before that's Mordechi. The Kosa Devdar Shesh Lagal Lo Amrina Bechanan. Mikol Makom Nir Dafka Bekli Yashem Kamar Hachi. What the Mordechi was saying was by a Kli Yashem. Aval Bekli Chadash Afilu Shalcheres Vade Einu Ola Adash Yuguf Acheres Yasa Nevela. Oh, see, he's saying like this. He's saying that when it comes to a Kli Yishana, so then, since the Blios are so enwrapped by the Cheres, then those Blios could become Nevela. Vaharaya, you can't get those Blios out. But Blios that you could get out, those won't become Nevela. Very fascinating yourself. In other words, once the Blios can come out, then they themselves are not susceptible to becoming an Avela because they're moving. They're going in, they're going out. They're not, Rav Soloveitchik shot, they're not real hosts. They're not real hosts. They're coming in and out. But when we're talking about Blios in a Cheres Yishana, those are ones that really are hosts and that will come out. In fact, if you don't learn like our grand Rebbe, so then you, Lechura, it's very hard to explain what the svara of the Shach would be. Who cares about the fact that the Blios go in and out? Who cares if they go in and out? At the end of the day, either the Blios become a Chanan or they don't become Chanan. But if you learn that Chanan is a function of the host, so then there's more svara to be able to be mazgir. Ulai v'ulai. Maybe one could suggest that pshat. Either way, b'siyata d'shmaya, this is the way in which Si'ife works, starting with Machlokas Ramban and Rajba, moving on into the Psak, where both Mechaber and the Ramah, according to the Gra and many others, paskin that there is Chanan Bekalim, leaving aside Rabbi Yamin's complicated Taz, leaving aside the fact that the Ramah in one place seems to be against that, so then you need to do a little bit of gymnastics to be Miyashev that Ramah. And then we have the next Ramah that talks about the Shitas HaMordechi and the Machlokas between the Taz and the Shach, how we look at how we explain Kli Cheres. Is it something that could become a host simply because its material becomes inexorably connected to the Tam? Or is that the other Blios, only Blios Yishana learns the Shach, you could say Hanan, and why would you? Because they're the only ones that stay. And then we added that maybe because it could serve as a host, that's why the halacha would function in such a manner. Okay, Si'if Vav is straightforward. It's a Gemara. The question is, what is the Chiddush? You'll tell me during Seder. The Gemara tells us the following. What happens if I don't have a Shir Isser? I have only a half a Zayis of Chalef, not a full Kazayis. So the Gemara wonders whether you need Shishim Keneged a half a Zayis. Maybe for Bittel, you only need 60 times on a full Zayis. So says the Gemara, no. Says the Mechaber, as the Gemara elaborates in Tzadi Ches in Chulin, Kechatzi Zayis Shel Iser, Shenisare Beheter. If you have a half a Zayis of Iser that is mixed with Heter, Tzar Shishim Chatzoy Zayse Heter Levatlo, then you need 60 times the Chatzi Zayis. Somehow the Gemara in Havamina that Bechatzi Shir, the rules of Bittel would be different. Hard to understand what that Havamina was, but the Shulchan Aruch is just reiterating that. Siv Zayin, Beitza Shiesh Bo Afroach. Here we have another Gemara on Sadi Ches, and that Gemara is how much Shishim do you need? What does it mean, how much Shishim do you need? You always need Shishim. What does it mean, how can you say how much Shishim? So Gemara differentiates between two opposite cases. In one instance, the item itself could be part of the shishim. The item that's holding the iser could be part included in the shishim. And in another instance, the item that's holding the iser is actually becomes part of the iser itself. And the nafkamina is going to be whether you need 59 times the host of the iser, or you need 61 times the host of the iser. If you say the host of the iser is mitztarif leheter, then you need 59, which is the case of kichal, as we're about to explain. In a case of a beitza sheish ba frolach, then the beitza becomes part of the iser, and then you're going to need 61 times the iser. That's why the mechaber writes beitza sheish ba frolach otipas damshin special mecherso shishim achas levato plitasa. You're going to need 61 times. Why? Because we consider the beitza as entirely isur, because it has an afroach, the chicken, and we're choshesh that the on some level it gives off its isur into the beitza, so the beitza itself becomes asur. So then you need 60 times beitzim keneged the beitza with the afroach. However, sivches we learn kechal we know is an udder that has milk inside that was cooked with other meat. And the problem is that you have the milk inside of the udder that's going to aser the rest of the meat. So if you have 60 times the meat connected to the milk, it's going to be mutter. What about the udder itself? So the udder itself is meat. So therefore, the udder itself could count as heter vis-a-vis the chalav. Hence, we learn kechal, when it comes to the udder, mispato betisha v'chamishim. 59 times is going to be enough. That is straightforward. These are all gemaras. The Rama continues, Kol Yisurim Hanogim Izman Hazeh, all Yisurim that apply today, Mispatlan Bishlishim, they're all Mevatel Bishishim. Now the Rama is wrapping up things. This is very common. By the way, for those of you who noticed in Shulchan Aruch, but the way in which the Simanim in Shulchan Aruch are often built is that you have the primary klalim in the beginning, and then you have obscure cases or exceptions to the rule towards the end, which makes a lot of sense. That's how, in general, we create intellectual models. We create the theory and the basic examples, and then you have more extreme examples or more detailed examples at the end. Particularly, the Beis Yosef writes that way. The Beis Yosef throws in often the obscure Shalos Tshuvas at the end of the Siman, the more obscure cases. So that's what we're up to now. We're up to the exceptions. So the Rama says as follows, Kol Yisurim Hanogim Izman Hazeh, Kulim is batlon b'shishim. We always use shishim. Milvad chametz b'pesach v'yayin nesach. So this is a rule of chametz on pesach v'yayin nesach that you guys know is aser b'mashu. U'bilvad, but there's one condition. Shaha iser eina noisein tam b'kder. The iser can't give tam into the pot. Avol noisein tam b'oisa k'der. If it gives tam, then v'hu aser mitzad atzmo. Afilu lo be'elef lo batel. Even if it's 1 in 1,000, it's not going to be bottle. Calls man shemargishin taimo. Anytime you could notice the time. V'lachein, mel, and this is the important application. Melach v'tavlin, if you have spices, midvarim da'avida l'taimo, that they're made to give off taste. Im asur machmas atzma ein b'tenel b'shishim. If they are made to give off taste, and they have strong tastes, the Taz says it's similar to davar charif, so then in such a case, the halacha would be that it's not going to be batel even in shishim. Now, the Prima Gadim points out in his Hakdama, you have the Hakdama, of course, of the Prima Gadim right in the beginning of the Shulchan Aruch. So the Prima Gadim in Perek Gimel of his Hakdama points out that this is a shtickle chiddush in Perek in Chelek Gimel, right in the beginning. He points out that Lechura, that's pashut. If it gives off tam, it should be aser. That's the davar pashut. Ad kidei kach, that he's bothered, that the iser v'heter says that this is a din d'rabbanan. The shach and sifkat and chavtes says, the kos of iser v'heter, the hainu mid'rabbanan, and sifkat and chavtes. The shach says that this is an iser d'rabbanan. So the Prima Gadim is bothered. What do you mean it's iser d'rabbanan? Tam ki iker. This is a din d'araisa. V'amevin yavin, this might get involved with Aruch HaBura, whether tam ki iker is d'rabbanan or d'araisa. But we pass in la halacha, the tam kiker is the raisis. He's bothered, even if let's say the melach is aser. So even if the melech is less than shishim, but the melech gives off tam, if the guy tastes it, then it should be asur min haTorah. So Prima Gadim says, ein hachanami. You have to say that we're talking about that the melech doesn't give real tam. Once there's shishim, it's not a real gishmak tam. But it's a little bit of tam, so that's a tam niklash, and a tam niklash is going to be asur midrabbanan. That's one way of learning. If one could be mazbir, there's a hamevin, a little bit of hamevin yavin, lumdus in brackets, that maybe what the Isser v'heter is l'shitaso, that the Isser v'heter holds that you go basar shma, that was the Ramah that we had earlier, that you go basar shma. And we saw we had a fundamental machlokas between the Ramah and the Shach, whether when it comes to the dindo raisa, do you go basar tam, or it's possible that the Ramah is, that's the position of Shach. It's possible that the Ramah holds that you don't go basar taima min haTorah once you have shishim. Now the shishim is going to be the machria. And the raya is that when it comes to deciding mim mino, mim sheino mino, you go basar shma as opposed to taima. So the Prima Gadim's pshat is correct within das haShach. Within the Shach, who holds that you go after tam, you're going to need to say, like the Prima Gadim, that it's a tam kolosh. But if you go like the Isser v'Heter, it could be that once you have shishim, that's the din d'oraisa, and everything else is going to be asur midrabbanan. Like we saw b'das Rashi, tam ki ikar is d'rabbanan. So it could be that the Isser v'Heter is going with that mahalach. So there is this very interesting question of whether this din is a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan. The Prima Gadim points out that the Pri Chadash says, what davar pashut, it's a din d'oraisa, you're going to go basar taima. That's consistent with the Shach. But Luchura, the Shach himself, who's quoting this of Heta, that says it's only Durabanan, that's where the Prima Gadim needs to give his pshat, that it's going to be a tam kolosh. Or you say, no, this of Heta, we hold it across the board. This of Heta is a purist. He means what he says. And this of Heta holds that tam is going to be a din Durabanan here. Once you have shishin, it's going to be batal, as we've discussed in the Chaburas, in regards to learning from Zerua B'Sheila, that when it comes to learning from Zerua B'Sheila, we learn that Din D'Oraisa Bishul is Shishim. So this might be another, this is our like fourth nafkamina between the Shach and the Ramah, or the Shach and the Isser V'Heter. Possible nafkamina. It's not the only way to learn, but definitely possible. The Shach concludes in Sifkat and Chavtes, and he says, the Kas of Od Sham, halfway through Sifkat and Chavtes, it's more Sif, since we're only talking about the Rabbanan, we're not talking about a Doraisa, so then in such a case you can give it to the Goy to taste. That would be interesting to fit back into the Ramah, who says never to ask a Goy. It sounds like he's saying this is an exception. So then how does it work with the Svara of the Ramah, whatever the Ramah's previous Svara was? He said not to ask a Goy. Now when it comes to the Rabbanans, then anyhow we're going to be makel. So it could very well be, if you learn Vameven Yavin, if you learn the din as a formal din, so then that formal din was on a level of Darais. So once we're talking about the Rabbanan, then all the rules don't apply. It's not a practical din whether the Goy is believed today or he's not believed today. Closer Vameven Yavin to Rabbi Kiva Eger as opposed to the other Shitas. If you say that Goy is not believed today, then why would you be Mechalik between the Rabbanans? Unless you say it's a Safek. You could explain that way as well. It's just a Safek, and that's how it works. But, so I threw out a lot of svaras just now, so let me just say over the dinim, the svaras, and we didn't develop them out of self, I'm just throwing them out as belosh and efshar, so let's just chazer the dinim. The dinim are, A, melech v'tavlin, there are vidal taima, the halacha is that if it's tasteable in more than shishim, even though it's shishim more than it, it's going to be aser. The Isser v'Heter says that's an Isser d'Rabbanan. The Prima Gadim says if it would be a strong taste, it would still be a din d'oraisa, and the Shach then says that l'maisa, he thinks that you could have a goy taste if it has the taste of melech v'tavlin, even though we don't allow for the tasting of melech v'tavlin when it comes to dinei d'or. We don't allow for ti'imas goy when it comes to isurei d'oraisa. This is up until here in the Ramah. There were hands. Yes.
So I'm saying this is like the Isser v'Heter holds, like is where the Ramah holds the Shema thing.
Right. Isser v'Heter is the Baal Memra of Shema. Right.
Okay. So then that would be like again, similar to Rashi.
That's what I'm driving at.
Not Rashi, because Rashi cares about
exactly
as well.
Exactly.
But okay. So.
Good. Okay. Yeah, there is a fascinating discussion in the poskim of whether this applies particularly to Melech V'Tavlin. Is this halacha only by Melech V'Tavlin, or does it apply to other things? So if you take a look at the Taz in Sifkat and Yud Aleph, the Taz says, quotes us Issa V'Heter, and then we're going to skip all of Yud Aleph and just go to the last three lines in Sifkat and Yud Aleph. The Taz says, Mashma delo mikri tam bazeh el davar charif, v'lo shuman. So the Taz is mechalik between Melech V'Tavlin, which he calls Davar Charif, which is interesting when we were being mefalpel and how to define something as a Davar Charif, the Taz calls them Dvarim Charifim. And it's not the fat. In other words, fat has very, very strong concentrated taste. So he says, maybe the same halach would be for fat also, you have to be chosh. He says, no. It does make that you could taste it even if there's more than 60. So again, you see that they're not saying that, oh, if you have tam, automatically machmir. No. Again, like the Prima Gadim, if it's a tam kolosh, we could be mekel. But the davar charif, then in such a case, you're going to be machmir. It's a little bit surprising, this Taz, because, again, it's nasata dvarecha l'shiurim, that he's now differentiating between melech v'tavlin versus other things. Although I was surprised to see, last time around, that the Pischei Tshuvas over here, Pischei Tshuvas, of course, is Rav Shraga. He, on page Resh Samach Gimel, says that Rov Poskim Paskin this way. It says, Das, on page Resh Samach Gimel, in the second column, V'das Rov Poskim, D'rak B'melech V'tavlin, Shein D'ran Kamri, from Amr Shein B'tel Mafil B'elef. He says, that's the only time we're going to be Machra. V'shar Mim, Shnosan Tocha Tav Shalatimo, K'gon Shuman, Ein B'din Zeu, B'tel B'shishim. So that's how he says. He said, calls this opinion of the Taz Rov Poskim. This is going to come up a lot, halacha lemaisa, in kashrus organizations where there's tiny amounts of ingredients that have iser, and there's definitely a mahadrin of shishin kenegin. But now you need to decide, did it give off time or did it not give off time? So that's a tough call. So according to the Taz, and Pischei Tshuvas claims that this is how we paskin, you only have to worry about Melech V'Tavlin. I myself would have a little pachat pechadim if you could really taste the tam iser, even if there was tam kolosh. But this is what it said in the books. He gives a nice application of this halacha. He then continues on Ban Reish Samach Gimel, going to Samach Dalid. He says an example would be you have wine of Shemitah. We know that wine could have, of course, Kedusha Shvius. And after Shvius, after the Zman Biur passes, so we Paskin, like most Rishonim, say Biur, the Medrash Halacha Darshan's, that you could eat the Peros Shvius and the Chayim Asada, Medrash Halacha Darshan's, that you can only eat the Peros Shvius up until when it's still in the field. Once it's no longer in the field, you're not allowed to eat it. So here the Rambam says, the Mishnah tells us in Shvius that you need to be Meva'er. So Rambam says it means to burn it. Rov Rishonim say, no, it means to make Hefker. By the way, this happens all the time. You'll see it in a few years, that there'll be wine with Peros Shvius, and then the Shas Biur is going to pass. And what people will do is they'll put it out. We actually had it sitting in the office. Someone had a bottle of wine, and it said Hefker. Why? Because he had gotten a bottle of wine that had Shvius, that had Kedusha Shvius. And if you have wine after Shas Biur, you have to be mafkir. So you can be mafkir. And then if no one takes it, you take it back for yourself. So people do this all the time after Shvius when it comes to wine. They'll be mafkir in front of three people, and they'll let someone come, whoever wants to come and take it. And if no one comes to take it, then you can take it back. So what happens if you had wine that wasn't hefker? In other words, the Kedusha Shvius wasn't appropriately observed, and then that wine fell into a piece of cake, was made in cake, that had shishim keneged. So that's the shaila. Wine is very easy to taste, even if they're shishim keneged. So the Pischei Tshuvas, not to be confused with Pischei Tshuva, but Pischei Tshuvas says that b'chura, that's going to be talui in this discussion. According to the Taz, it's only by Melech v'Tavlin that you have to be choshish for tam. All other things, you don't have to be choshish for tam. However, according to those who disagree, which he claims is the minority of the poskim, then in such a case, it's going to be problematic because Kedusha, the appropriate Kedusha Shvius wasn't observed. Yes?
Didn't we already quote Beis Yosef in the first year saying that if you have Shishim but there's still Tam, that it's for sure not Batel?
Oh.
Why didn't you say it's only applying to Batel?
Right, no, but he's right. He needs to, we need to flesh that out. So that's a great question. That's a great question. So the answer is, according to the Prima Gadim, that this is talking about where the Tam is Kalush. When the tam is kolosh, so then in such a case, then there's room to say that with shishim it's going to be mutter. If the tam is going to be prominent, so then in such a case one cannot be makel. If it's mel, and then we have a machlokis when it comes to melech v'tavlin, whether by it only applies this kolosh taste applies only to melech v'tavlin or to other things. To put it in other terms, let's go back into the words. If you take a look at the words, let's do the words in the Ramah and then the Shach. Maybe I got a little bit ahead of myself by getting to the Maisa. If, let's take a look again in the words of the Ramah. The Ramah says, "Ubelvad she iser einanosein tam b'kdeira." The only time it's mutter is if the iser doesn't give tam b'kdeira. Avol nosen tam ba'osa k'deira, v'hu asur mitzad atzmo. Now that's an important line. V'hu asur mitzad atzmo means that we're talking about an iser that the melach and tavlin itself is asur. So, for example, let's say it would be tavlin of truma. In the instances that Truma of Tavlin could aser for a zar. So then in such a case, then afilu be'elef v'obotl calls man shemargishin taimo. So let's take a look now at the Shach, Sivkot and Chavches, Klomar. To call ha'asurim da'alma lo avidi l'taimo. In general, they're not called avidi l'taimo. So the answer to your question, Binyamin, on the simplest level, and that's why I said, let's go back to the words, is we're talking about things that are avidi l'taima. Those things that are, they're not made for their volume, they're not made for their satiatory strength, but rather they're made only for tam. Those things are less likely to be batel and shishin. That's what we're describing. Continuing the shach, klomar, kol esrim da'alma lo avidi l'taima. Minastam b'teilu m'shishim. They're generally batel m'shishim. Fishei nosen tam b'yosem m'shishim. Elkei nirgash taimo. So here the Shach spells out exactly what you had said. If you're margish the tam, does pshita the aser, then it's going to be pashut the aser. V'lochein, kivan de'im margishim taimo ene batel afil b'yosem m'shishim, hilkach melech v'tavlin ene b'teilu afilu b'elef. According to the Shach, we're saying over here, Melech and Tavla are not going to be batel and elef. Fishim in astam nosnim tam. So, enachanami, if you're margish the tam on food, and it's not a tam kolosh, it's a real significant tam, so then in such a case, halacha is that it's going to be aser. Melech v'tavlin, the way the Shach presents the Ramah, is you have to assume that it's afilu be'elef lo batel. Says the Yisr v'heter, that's because it's an Yisr d'Rabbanon. The Prima Gadim explains because it's a Tam Kolosh, that's going to be the Isser Durabban. And some say, no, it's not even if it's a Tam Kolosh, it's part of the rules that Melech V'Tavlin is going to be Usser, and it's going to be even Usser Min HaTorah. But you're 100% right. The Beis Yosef taught us that if there's Shishim, so then in such a case you have to be Choshish. So comes along the Pischei Tshuvas. Now I'll spell out again the Nafkamin in regards to the wine. And he says as follows. Wine, you could look at as an entity that's also avida l'taima. In other words, when you put wine into the cake, that wine is not being made for adding volume. It's specifically l'taima. So now we have the following question. According to the Taz, we saw it's only Melach v'Tavlin that's looked at as something that's avida l'taima, they have to be machmir. But fat, which is also not made for satiation, it's made for tam, there you could be mako. So says the Pischei Tshuvas, therefore wine, what's that? It's also made for the...
Fat is,
even though fat is avida l'taima, it's not considered that which the Isser HaHeter said is avida l'taima, that's not batel b'alef. It's not the same level. It doesn't follow the same threshold of avida l'taima. It's not in the same league. So therefore, that's not that same type of avida l'taima. And therefore, you don't have to be choshesh for its tam. Wine, in a case where wine is added in, do you say automatically that's going to make it aser? Even if it doesn't give off a strong taste, even if you don't notice it, when it comes to the wine, it's still going to be aser. Why? Because that's going to have the din of Zeisim Hashemen. It's going to have the din of Melach V'Tavlin. Or no, do we say that the wine, you'll just have to ask a guy, or you'll just have to ask Shishim according to the Ramah, and that's it. You don't have to worry about anything more. So to put it in very, very practical terms, the wine of Isser fell in, not talking about Yayin Nesach now, the wine of Shvius fell in, so that is Avida L'Taima, so now is it just going to be Usser, even if there's Shishim Keneged? Or do we say, no. Now, could you ask a guy? Yes, you could ask a guy, but what if a guy's not available? So according to the Taz, no! It's not considered avida l'taima, it's automatically aser. And in a chanami, I would say, Binyamin, in regards to your question, if you ate it, relying on the heter, and then you tasted the wine, then you shouldn't continue eating it. Because then it's like your case of the Beis Yosef, where it's mamashishim.
The entire thing is crazy. What's tam kolosh? Because tam, there's no, like, when something is, there's 58 times.
Right. I'll answer your question. Ein hachanami. When it comes to all foods in general, there's no such thing as tam kolish. There's either tam or there's no tam. But melach and tavlim are very hard to measure. Right? In other words, we're not going to say you taste your wife's soup and there's not enough salt because there's an appropriate way how to react. But when you taste your own soup, right? And there's when you feel like that, there's not enough salt. Does that mean that there's no salt that's discernible, or there's a little bit of salt that's discernible? Point is that what I'm bringing out is that the vagueness when it comes to salty and spicy. It's the reason why we use those words salty and spicy. Is they fall on a range. So it could be that you will still taste the salt when it's more than shishim, but at the same time, it would be considered al pi halacha already kolish. Just a second, pi halacha kolish. In contrast to all other foods, you don't say meaty or milky. I know some call Milky Way, but that's not for that reason. You don't have that range that you have when it comes to taste. And therefore, shishim is going to be the barometer. So the chumra comes along and says, in the Issa v'Heter, and he says, bang! When it comes to melach v'tavlin, you have to be machmir, even afilu be'elef lo batel. Comes along the shach, and he says, but if the goy tells you, I didn't taste anything, so then in such a case, then you can be mekel. That's the way to explain the halacha. But your question, Binyam, was very, very good. I jumped to the halacha l'maisa applications without explaining that the difference between melach v'tavlin and other ochel. So thank you for stopping me. But everything we said was correct. Just needed to add. I jumped past the shach too fast, where the shach asks your basic question, and that needs to be spelled out. Okay. Yes, Eitan.
I just to address the base. Beyond the point about the base,
uh-huh.
I don't. If you tasted it, I don't know the Taz would be matir. The Taz is only talking about what is considered something which inherently is not batel b'shishim.
Correct.
But if you tasted it, I mean, to answer Bijam's question, Bijam's question was the Beis Yosef says that if you tasted it, it's not batel.
Right.
If you taste it, a Taz would agree that if you taste it, it's not batel. He's
correct.
Just saying that what are in the category of things which
agree
more than shishim.
Agreed.
So I don't understand exactly the case that this is true because he brings a case where you taste the yayin in the cake.
No, wait. So maybe I presented it
no,
a little
saying,
bit.
I mean,
he says you taste it.
Here, but toch ugo yain shel shvish shavar
zman
habir umar gishem es tam with the Talmud books on Israel ichashiv latam shel abakel b'sam olaf. Meaning, if you taste, I mean, maybe I didn't see the whole thing, but if you taste it, I don't. Even
you would have. You would be mako. You'd be machmir. Excuse me. You'd be machmir.
No one would be. If you taste it, no one's going to be mako.
Right. So I think he's working with the Tam Kolosh explanation of the Prima Gadim.
Where is that spot?
Where you see the Prima Gadim quotes it. The Prima Gadim is in his Hakdama. It's in Chelek Gimel, and it appears in Dibra Maskol Veda. Chelek Gimel Perek Aleph in his Hakdama. And I have this right in the beginning. Chelek Gimel Aleph, it's Dibra Maskel Veda. So I think that he might be going with that svar. You know what? I saw him by Shachris yesterday, so I'm going to hack him up a little bit, Blin Eder. We're both rushing at the end of Shachris, so maybe I'll have to find him at night. But I hear what you're bothered by. I hear what you're bothered by. And Enochanami. I would be Machmir in such a case if you were able to taste the wine for the reason that you said. And I think you're right, that you could understand that the Taz was only talking about where you didn't have a goy to taste it. But if you have a goy to taste it, and the goy said that you had tam chelev, in such a case you would have to be machmir. And that, like you said, is the pashtus of the Beis Yosef itself. And the Shach clearly bears out this way of learning. Good. You're saying well. Again, the Pisrei Chuvis is not wrong. His Nafkamina is not wrong, even according to us. Even according to, wait, leaving aside when he said Kol Zman, he's not wrong. Because now the Shaila is, am I allowed to eat the cake or not? That's the Shaila. Am I allowed to eat the cake now? So you could give the Pisrei Chuvis Nafkamina without those three extra words. You're saying, once he had those three extra words, then you wouldn't necessarily, of Margish and Tam. In other words, according to many poskim, you would look at wine as avida l'taima, and then in such a case, then the cake is going to be aser. While according to the Taz, it's not called avida l'taima. That would be. But you're saying the Pisrei Chuvis painted himself a little bit in a corner when he said that you're margish the tam, because then you would say the pashas of Beis Yosef is, you have to be machmir. It's a real question. He needs to address your question. Bli neder, I'll try to ask him. Okay, Rabosai. We have a couple more points. Yeah. I thought I would finally give you a break and end at 4 o'clock. It's your fault. It's all the questions. I'm very happy to have them. Go ahead.
This Taz thing definitely wouldn't work out the way that we said Ezra Hedger, if he's talking about Doraisa. If we say that the Shach says that the Ezra Hedger said it, right?
I hear what you're saying. Yes. I hear what you're saying. Okay. See if... Sif Tes says the Mechaber Kedei Rosh Yesh Ba Chamishim Etisha Zaysim Heter. If you have a pot here, I'm just going to flesh out the basic case and wrap up Tzadiches. If you have 59 Zaysim of Heter V'nafu Ba Shnei Zaysim Echad Shal Dam Echad Shal Chelev, and you have Dam and Chelev that fall inside. Kol Echa Mitzarif Mechamisha V'Tisha Shel Heter Levat El Chaver. Let's just put this on the tiny bit of board we have over here. It's so such a simple case. Why keep it hard? Let's just have it in front of us. So you have what has a connotation of Heter? I think blue has a Heter connotation. So you have 59 of Heter, and then you have. One of Dam. No, that was wrong. I meant to do Dam this way. You have one of Chelev, and you have one of Dam. So the halacha is very, very simple. The halacha is that the Chelev is going to be Patal in 60, because there's 60
with the dam
and the heter.
And the chelev and the dam is going to be batel because there's 60 of the chelev with the heter. So that's this straightforward halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Ad kidei kach that I might have thought you didn't even need a halacha in Shulchan Aruch to spell that out, that it's so obvious. But let's read it inside. Maybe we'll discuss also what the Shulchan Aruch is emphasizing. Kol echad mitzdarfim achamishim v'tisha shel heter v'atel chaverov v'chein esrim v'tisha zesim shel heter sh'nofu mem kizayis chelev u'kdir acheres ha'yishloshim shel heter v'nofu sal kizayis shel dam v'nisarvu b'shogeg mutter. In such a case, it's all mutter. Rama concludes a simon. V'chol shekein b'shnei zesim echad shel gvina v'echad shel basar. The kol echad mevatel chaverov. Everything is going to combine with the heter to be mevatel its friend. Says the Shach, Lama Gimel, the Svaro, the Shach spells it out, the Kol Isser Batel, Kishaini Yochaliting Tam Beheter. Each Isser is going to be Batel if it doesn't give off Tam in the Heter. In other words, there's not enough Dam to give off Tam into the Chelev and the Heter because there's 60 times the Dam, so it won't give off the Tam. The Tam Dam Chelev, Shamari, the Spatel, Tam Chelev, Beshishim, the Tam Adam Beshishim. There, each one is going to be mevatel each other. The Gra and the Ber Hagola in Sif Katan Yud Ches points out that the Chidush over here is involved with the Machlokis between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, whether Isur is mevatel each other. Are two Isurim mevatel each other? So here, even though we paskin that one Isur cannot be mevatel another, so if you add dam, or there's, and I'm not going to pass them for Hilchos Beis HaMikdash. So it's a machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish in terms of Karmen Chatos and so on and so forth. But it's a machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish if you ate dam and chelev. So are the two tamim mevatel each other? You say they combine together. Each one is Isser, so they bind together for Malkus. The case in Zvachim, it's Gemara in Zvachim, Ayin Ches and Ayin Tes, is Pigol and Noser. Do Pigol and Noser combine together for an Isser Malkus? So that's a Machlokus, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. So, and according to the Shita that holds that they're not Mevatel each other, so that I might have thought that so too over here. The Chelev can't join with the Heter to be Mevatel Adam. Kamash Malan, that this is an entirely different case, because here we're talking about the Tam of Shishim. So if there's Shishim of Tam, Kenega the Dam, so then in such a case, there's not going to be any problem. That's the Chiddush over here of Simin Sadi Ches. According to Madom, that says, Ein Isser Mevatel Isser, this is different, because here we're talking about a Lach B'Yavesh, and here we're not talking about whether you get Malchus. We want to know if the Taruvas has the Isser, it doesn't have the Isser. The Badei HaShulchan spells this out very clearly in the Biurim, Dibar Maskel Kedera, on the back of the page. He quotes that Machlokis, Rabbi Yochanan, excuse me, it's not Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan, it's Reish Lakish, Rabbi Lazar. He says that it wouldn't be totally the Machlokis, Reish Lakish, Rabbi Lazar, and that's the Chiddush, B'siyat of the Shemaya. Yes. Oh, that's where I got that error? Okay.
He says Rabbi Yochanan.
Rabbi Yochanan, very good. If you take a look, there's a Lam in Zion, maybe they correct it. Ah. It's Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lazar. Okay. Right, there's a big discussion what the gear says. Okay, so I wasn't totally off. It's a big discussion what the gear says, whether it's Rabbi Lazar or Rabbi Yochanan. Either way, that's the pshat. Yashikov. Tam v'nishlam simin tzadiches b'siyata d'shmaya. We will be doing simin tzadiches, a very beautiful simin. Eim avatlan esachatil. I want to keep on moving, Rabosai. If you can, let's try to do all simin tzadiches in the next 2 days, as much as you can. Don't rush. But I would like to try to shoot Thursday, maybe even really going to all the way till 4:30, and try to do all the simin tzadiches. Eim avatlan esachatil. That's a lot. All right.